Morning, brothers and sisters. I left my Easter at home, so I thought I'd read Psalm 119. Keep talking.
Just kidding.
We should be happy and have great joy in being here this morning. And incidentally, the word joy means J-O-Y, J for Jesus, O for others, and why for yourself. But there are many around the world who are not free or able to come together because they are lawfully banned from meeting in groups to worship. So although we are happy and rejoice now, this day, this is nothing compared to the day we look forward to when the kingdom of God has come and we become his saints. But now is the time to serve the Lord. This moment of time you'll never have again. It's gone. What you do in this moment will be registered in your book of life and cannot be changed. So obviously we should make every second that we have this day and tomorrow, and the day after that, and so on. We must do all for the glory of God. That's what our Saviour did, isn't it, brothers and sisters? Let us stop for this moment of time and consider what is happening right now in this meeting today. If we live in the present, we'll be able to cope much better with our experiences. It's all very well thinking of the past, but whatever's gone is gone and it cannot be changed. It's good to stop our life as we do now and consider how we can serve our wonderful Father in heaven. Paul says in Ephesians 5 verse 15, "See that you walk circumspectly, wisely, not as fools, redeeming the time because the days are evil." And they certainly are, aren't they, today? We can learn from the past, sure, and we must have a vision of the future. But we must do what is right now. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. And we cannot change what is in the past. We have to make the most of today and every day we live. The preacher in Ecclesiastes writes in chapter 9 and verse 10, "Whatever your hands find to do, do it all with your might." Why? Psalm 6 verse 5 says, "In death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who can give thanks?" Or anything for that matter. Brothers and sisters, we know the return of Christ is near. We must use the time left wisely. Make sure our lamps are burning brightly and we have enough oil. Remember how some were sleeping? The book of Proverbs is full of warnings about laziness and being complacent. And one quote puts it quite aptly, I thought. It says, "If you're too lazy to plough, don't expect a harvest." And the book of Ecclesiastes 12 verse 13 brings the story of life to an end when it says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep the commandments, for this is the whole duty or essence of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." So if there is a need to be met, we ought to act now rather than leave it till later. It's so easy to put things off till tomorrow, isn't it? We all know that tomorrow never comes, does it? There's a verse in Proverbs warning us in 3 verse 28. "Do not say to your neighbour, 'Go and come again tomorrow, and I'll give it to you,' when you have it with you. Yeah, that makes sense. How then can we make the best use of our time today? Do you make plans or write lists or make goals? That's good, that's very good, but do you see them through to a positive conclusion? We can all have good intentions in the world, but unless we finish what we have started, they're not worth anything, are they? There's a 16th century saying, and it's still relevant today, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. That's not to say you're going to go to the devil and not that. But yeah. Again, Proverbs 14, verse 23. In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. Ask yourself, what one or two things can I do this day that will please my Father? This could be, say, making a phone call, maybe sending an email, or making an inquiry about something, something that will help someone else. And then you go on and do it. And I must admit that I'm one of the worst of those of you all. I must confess this probably applies to me more than you. But in this last month, I meant to ring Elspeth at least 6 or 7 times. And I finally did it a couple of days ago. But for day after day, I'd say to myself, I'll ring her today. And I'd forget to remember and say, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. And so on. But anyway, I did ring her in the end. But that's the negative side. Maybe that what we did, or what I did when I did not do what I was going to do, may have been a good thing. Some of us will be really good and complete all our tasks in a logical order. However, whatever approach we take to complete, to manage our time, as long as it is to the glory of God, then we do very well. The question is, are we using our resources? And by resources I mean our time, our knowledge, our skills, our possessions, the material things, our money, our everything, or everything we have, which includes our very body in which we dwell in for 70 years or 10 or more, then it returns to the dust from whence it came. These are all gifts from God. So are these resources being used to the full? Be a brave brother or sister who says they do use them in every way possible. There are likely many ideas or things we may have thought about which seemed good at the time, but we judged them too difficult or too big or too time consuming, so put it off saying, well, perhaps I'll think about that later. The easiest thing to do is to do what we are doing, which could be nothing. So, what are we putting off? Organising an event? Offering a helping hand? Attending an event? Visiting someone? Removing a temptation to sin? Renewing good habits? And there's probably many more. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 4 says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. And that's probably true, isn't it? We each of us have to act in our service to God, our families, and our brothers and sisters. Remember what Christ said, as you have done it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it to me, according to Matthew. And the Bible is full of examples of men and women, and those in Hebrews we just read, who did not let the perceived difficulties of a task prevent them from completing it. Imagine if Noah had put off building the ark for a day or two, he probably would have been drowned, wouldn't he? But that's what we mean. Look at the example of Hezekiah then. As soon as he came to the throne, recorded in Chronicles 2:29, verse 3. The first year, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of God, he fixed them, and restored the sacrifices and offerings. Then he stopped and rested while he considered what to do tomorrow. No, he didn't. He understood the spirit of the law, and not wanting to wait another year until the Passover, he declared the Passover should be kept in the second month. So compare his actions with us today. Now, are we as passionate as Hezekiah was to renew our dedication to our wonderful God? When we feel our lamp is going out and our door needs repairing, do we urgently and immediately make a big effort to grow closer to God, our Maker? If we see others in that situation and need help, do we do the same for them? We have lots of examples in the Old Testament. We could spend hours and still not cover them all. But we'll take one more in the Old Testament. Two faithful men, Joshua and Caleb. They went out to spy the land. You know these stories. And they returned with a good report. It should have encouraged the people that it should be taken immediately. Their faith helped them to see over the giants that were there and the strong walls. And they wanted to do it now and act. Compared to us, does our faith allow us to see beyond the walls or the difficulties? Do we have enough faith to act promptly? Or do we put it off until the time is right? Now we'll take one from the New Testament, the greatest example of all, in the whole Bible. Where will you find a man greater than Jesus Christ, our Lord? Where have you got in the Bible where I'm asked to put something off till tomorrow? If you look up the word immediately in Young's Concordance and where Jesus is, and you find that Matthew, it is recorded in 5 times, and Mark, where Jesus does his miracles, there in chapter 1, verse 1, verse 31, immediately the fever left her. That was one of the miracles he did. 42, immediately the leprosy departed. Immediately when Jesus perceived. And there are many more times when the actions of Jesus were right away, now. We all know the parable of the 10 virgins, don't we? Be ready now. We know not the hour of his return. Jesus never changed from the moment he was born. He was 110% committed to his Father's will. Remember, there was that wonderful prayer for his disciples in John 17. Jesus prayed for those who were with him at the time. And then Jesus prays for all believers, you and me. In John 17 and verse 20. We who are yet unborn. I'm going to read you 3 or 4 verses of it. Verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may see my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. Remember, God called you. We didn't go to him, he called you. 25, O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known that you sent me, and that you have sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. And this is the love of Christ for you, for me. for all. Jesus loved all people, whether it was good or bad. And this was a time when Jesus was under great pressure, remember? He was just about to be crucified, he knew it. And he had time for his disciples with him, you and me. That's love, brothers and sisters. Think of the pressure he was under. Maybe next time we feel downhearted and self-centered, we should think of others who are much worse off than we are. We have the truth, our faith. There's only one time when Jesus paused and took some time to strengthen himself. It was when he knew his time had come. Jesus took his disciples with him to the garden, over the brook from Kidron, the Mount of Olives. And Jesus spent other times there, for it's recorded in John 18, verse 2, that Jesus often resorted there with the disciples. And then Jesus left his disciples and went on a bit, for he needed some time with his Father. This is a lesson for each one of us. We all need these times when we should pause. Have some moments, either in meditation or a slow, thoughtful prayer to our Father in heaven. To perhaps think about how our Father cares for each one of us and continually, daily, shows his love to you and to me in all the times of our lives, and especially when you need something. God will be there for each one of us. So then, whatever we turn our hands to today or in the days to come, we will labour in vain unless we have the right attitude and motive. Philippians 2 verse 3 says this, "Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves." Everyone should look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. So we must seek to give God the glory in everything we do, putting love as the basis of our actions. God selected you and me, so we are in his debt. We owe him everything. He asks us to serve him with all our might, making the most of the time we have left. Responses must be now, today, not tomorrow. As we sang praises to God in that hymn 396, we made a solemn commitment to him in that hymn. Now is the time to serve the Lord, to do his will, to learn his word. In death there is no power to know, far less than wisdom's way to go. We are making or losing our future now, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah.